Certainly like to welcome everyone here this morning. Glad to see everyone who's able to make it out, has been able to come out. One of the things that very deeply impresses me about the Bible is its relevancy. I mean, if you stop to think, we're talking about a book that was written thousands of years ago. You know, up to three and a half thousand. Thousands of years ago, to a different people, different language, different culture, different norms, you name it. And yet, despite how modern we get, despite how technologically sophisticated we get, despite how politically astute we get, it's still relevant. Very relevant. There is a topic that has come up in many ways very recently. In fact, once we get into it, it's been in existence not much more than about 7 years, that I thought we would spend a little bit of time talking about today from the perspective of the Bible. That topic, if I can get it to come up, is Black Lives Matter. Looking at that from a spiritual perspective. So now right off the bat, there's some things I want to say to kind of make sure I'm understood the best way possible. First of all, at least according to the media, we are in a very divided, divisive, polarized climate. Politically climate. Red states, blue states, pro-Trump, anti-Trump, Republicans, Democrats, leftists, liberals, I mean, you name it. Somewhat highly polarized. Again, pretty much according to the media, and there's probably some truth to that. This topic in particular is also can be viewed as highly emotional, highly divisive, highly a lot of emotional content, especially considering your background. I mean, if you have had perhaps parents that have told you some of the things they experienced with segregation and the Klan and cross burnings and lynchings and other forms of racial hatred, discrimination, etc. Or if you've experienced that yourself, you know that that can have a fairly long, deep, lasting impact on the way you view the world, the way you view people's actions, the way you view what people say. And there's a strong, often, emotional content there that we have to be careful about. Have to exercise caution. We also have to exercise caution in terms of misrepresenting people and what they say and what they do and exaggerating those things and viewing what some people who may or may not be associated with certain groups may say or do. Not only potential leader, actual leaders, potential leaders, self-proclaimed leaders, or supporters, or opponents, etc. So there's a lot of churn, if you will, there as well. And you, again, have to be very careful what you say. Try to make it fact-based. Try to, leave bias behind. And be careful about listening to people or observing people and thinking, well, all people say that. All people think that. All people, they are represented or whatever. And be careful. Because as we'll get into, when we get further into our study, there are some things that are quote-unquote official, like according to, official websites. There are some people who are official representatives. There are others who are not. There are others who may be sympathetic to certain things, and there's others who see that as an opportunity to slip in and cause trouble. Not that they're representative of, you know, certain things or not. Anyway, it's a lot of potential caution we need to drink there. And yet, despite all of this, we have to recognize that many things in our culture, politics, political movements, you name it, do have scriptural elements. For example, the women's rights movement, gay rights movement, abortion rights movement, etc. And this Black Lives Matter thing is no exception to that. The other thing, and actually really two things I want to also mention. I'm going to try to portray this the best I can. But despite that, there may be some things I say or don't say that may sound odd or sound a little something you might not like or that might upset you. Okay? You know, let me apologize in advance. If that's the case, let's just talk about it, like afterwards. Okay? I will try to do what I can. You try to do what you can. And together we'll kind of work our way through this, you know, using the scriptures as the basis. Okay. Prior to recent events, I will confess, I didn't know that much about Black Lives Matter. You know, I may have heard about it previously, but didn't really know all that much about it. So, went off and did some research. So, this is a quote from, and you probably can't tell it down here. This is off the internet. This is off of Wikipedia. And you may or may not have certain feelings about Wikipedia, but at least it is a publicly visible, publicly vetted, publicly contributed to kind of thing. Okay? So I'll let you kind of read that. And at least according to Wikipedia, okay, BLM, decentralized movement, advocating nonviolent civil protest, or I'm sorry, non-advocate, nonviolent civil disobedience, protest against incidents of police brutality against African American people. There is an organization simply known as Black Lives Matter, about 16 chapters in the U.S. and Canada. There's evidently a larger one, movement. Various separate like-minded organizations, so it's kind of a cloud of different organizations. The broader movement and its related organizations typically advocate against police violence for black people, as well as for various other policy changes considered to be related to quote-unquote black liberation. Same website, Wikipedia, began 2013, 7 years ago, give or take. Used a certain hashtag in social media after the acquittal of George Zimmerman, shooting death of African-American teen Trayvon Martin back in February. February 2012. Returned to attention following the global George Floyd protests in 2020, which is what we've been experiencing over the last month and a half, give or take. I lose track of time. Sorry about that. An estimated 15 million to 26 million people participated, although not all are quote-unquote members. So some are members, some are not. Movement has advocated to defund the police and invest directly into black communities and alternative emergency response models. Again, that's from Wikipedia. So as we're beginning to already see, at least with this discussion, or these references from Wikipedia, in some ways it's kind of a loose collection of different organizations. Some people are members, some people aren't. Some people are sympathetic to police brutality and may go along with some of the protests, and others, you know, for various other reasons, either participate or don't participate. Okay, so it's a little squishy kind of to begin with. So what I want to do next is, again, through a spiritual lens, look at this broad phenomenon, not just the organization, not just the official members, not just the official charter, not just what officially people who say they're members of do, but just the whole enchilada, so to speak. And again, I want to be careful as we go through this, because different people have different perspectives. Some have different reasons. Some have different agendas. And so, again, we have to be kind of careful to tease that out. And we don't want to paint with too broad of a brush. Anyway, it says, everyone who believes in All Lives Matter is dot, 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 or believes dot, dot, dot. We want to be very careful about that. So I created a little graphic under the overall umbrella of this term, again, to admit some degree of different people, different perspectives, etc. Let's talk about civil rights right off the bat. Some citizens have gone out and exercised their constitutionally guaranteed First Amendment rights, which I've got a copy here. Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech or the right of people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances, according to our Bill of Rights. From a scriptural perspective, we see something very similar with Paul. Although born Jewish, Paul was also a Roman citizen. And we see where he exercised his civil rights under Roman law more than once. Acts chapter 22, verse 25. He was about to be scourged without having been tried and convicted. Under Roman law, to do that to a Roman citizen was wrong. And he spoke up and said, hey, is it lawful for you to do that? And the answer obviously was no. So he exercised his civil rights. Likewise, in Acts 25, verse 11, where they wanted to take him back to Jerusalem for trial and likely have someone along the way assassinate him, according to the word that he got, he exercised his civil rights under Roman law, to appeal to Caesar. That was a right of a Roman citizen. In any court, he could make that appeal. So from a scriptural perspective, exercising of civil rights, peaceably, etc., totally approved. Right? Now, you know, you could argue in a secondary sense, there may be some things that have another scriptural component that would say that's probably not the best thing to do. But at least at a base level, as Brian likes to use the term, it's okay. Right? Endorsed by scripture. Okay, that's good. Let's talk about police brutality. And I might mention there are some images in here that are kind of potentially traumatic. And I'll apologize in advance for those, but they are nonetheless things you will find on the media, social media, and in the press. Some citizens concerned over excessive use of force, police brutality, etc., have, as we saw in the previous slide, chosen to exercise their constitutional rights in peaceful protests, etc., redress of grievances, etc. From a scriptural perspective, Luke 3, verse 14, the context is John the Baptist. He's doing his preaching. Different people are coming to him and asking different questions. Soldiers, most likely Roman soldiers, might have been Jewish, context doesn't say, what shall we do? And in that context, he told them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely. Point being, just because a person is in a position of authority, including police, soldiers, whatever, that does not give them the right to do whatever they want to the citizens. Okay. There's a rough parallel over in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9, where it talks about masters and servants, and masters threatening their servants, for instance. And there's perhaps a rough parallel with those in positions of authority, police department, etc., and citizens, you know, threats, etc. So, you know, from a scriptural perspective, you know, is it appropriate to be concerned about police and others, police, government, whatever? you know, excessively using force, brutality, etc. Yeah, absolutely. Right? It's not something they should be doing. And again, we could have some secondary discussions about in the context and what was going on and whatever, but, you know, again, at a simple level, you know, police brutality, you know, brutality by police shouldn't be done. All right, that's good. So far, so good, right? And here we're going to take a turn. Some people, under this overall umbrella of Black Lives Matter, have done some things to take advantage of the situation, to do all manner of stuff, right? And that doesn't mean that everyone who believes in BLM has done this. It doesn't necessarily mean that BLM as an organization, if you will, has condoned it. But some people have done this in the general context. Rioting, attacking police stations, burning police cars, injuring and killing the police, including black officers. Well, the scriptures have to say about that. Well, generally speaking, Romans 13, beginning with verse 1, talks about let every soul be subject to the governing authorities and basically obeying the law. Same thing. Titus chapter 3, verse 1, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, etc. Likewise, 1 Peter 2, verse 13, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. So in this context, is it okay, based on events, to go out, riot, uprise, attack the police? Not according to scripture. Now again, we could have a secondary discussion about cases, and I'm kind of thinking about Nazi Germany, where laws are passed say thou shalt not worship, or like in California, thou shalt not sing under this COVID thing, and where we have to obey God rather than men. Okay, we could have that discussion. But in terms of going out, overturning cars, setting fires, attacking the police, nope. Similarly, in some of these incidents, some people have seen the opportunity to go pick up a free TV set. Right? Massive amounts of smashing of store windows, looting. You can see that on the media. I think to the point, I think I saw on the internet where I think Target said they were closing down, there's like 100 stores or 175 stores, etc., at least temporarily around the nation. What do the scriptures say? Romans 13, 9, thou shalt not steal. Pretty plain. Ephesians 4, verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Is looting justified? Nope. Crimes against property, again, similar kinds of things. Vandalism, arson, etc., smashing again of windows, etc. To include minority-owned businesses and other stores in minority neighborhoods. Scripturally speaking, Romans 13, 8 through 9, 8 and 9. Oh no, here's a relevant scripture. Oh no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law, for the commandments, they list several, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Crimes against property, according to scripture? Nope. I have heard some people say, quote unquote, Black Lives Matter, and they get offended if you say, Well, yeah. All Black Lives Matter. Not just the victims of police brutality. And in fact, if you go to their website, they have this phrase. We are guided by the fact that all Black Lives Matter. And, you know, some people take offense. All Black Lives Matter. How can you say that? No, this is about Black Lives, you know, victims of police brutality. No, according to their website, all Black Lives Matter. Or do they? Even when blacks kill blacks? Yeah. Honestly, I do not know how many, again, black police officers have been injured or killed, but there have been some in defense of minority-owned neighborhoods, stores, etc. There doesn't seem to be a cry of outrage over that. Now, I know maybe there are some in some select circles, but at least according to the mainstream media, I don't see a lot of protesters out there protesting the death of black officers. If any, protest. The other sad thing, and I've got another statistic here in a little bit, and this is not too surprising given people tend to live in different neighborhoods. But if you look at the number, percentage-wise, of at least according to one website I found, percentage of black victims killed by blacks. Sad to say, almost all. I mean, not all. In recent events, there have been, cries to defund the police. Not surprising, you may have seen in the media an uptick of violence against blacks. Detroit, New York, Chicago, shootings. Blacks killing blacks. I mean, not always, but a lot. There doesn't seem to be a public outcry about that either. All Black Lives Matter? Well, scripturally, Genesis 9:6. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made white people. No. Black people? No. Man. Okay. All made in the image of God. All black lives. And then, of course, there's the obvious one, Romans 13:9. You shall not murder. So, from a Black Lives Matter perspective, do all black lives matter? Yes, they should. So, focusing exclusively on one case and ignoring some of these others, at least numerically much greater? No, that's not good. Same phrase from the website. We were guided by the fact that all Black Lives Matter. Do they really? Even when black women kill their babies? Oh, you can't say that, Jeff. Every woman, women's rights, freedom of choice, right to choose, pro-choice. Can't say that. Really? Next chart, I've got some very sad statistics. But do really all Black Lives Matter? They should. But how much public outcry do you see about this one? Honestly, not much. Scripturally, Exodus 21, you can read about a case, two men are fighting with one another. I guess one of the wives of one of the men, tried to intervene. She's pregnant, has a baby. Okay, no problem. But if there's like a problem coming from that and she loses the baby, life for life. Psalms chapter 106, verse 38. Talks about some of the practices of God's people, the Jews, shedding innocent blood, shedding the blood of their sons and daughters, sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, as you may recall, being offered as a burnt offering to their gods. Land was polluted with blood of the innocent. And once again, back around to Romans 13:9, you shall not murder. So, how about from an abortion perspective? Some Black Lives Matter? Well, no. All Black Lives Matter. The next chart is, I'm sorry, it is just sad. Found this on the internet. Got the website. I can give it to you afterwards. According to this, the number one killer in the black community, number one, as bad as it is, it's not police brutality. It's not blacks killing blacks under homicides there. 8,000, of which, what, our previous chart, 90-plus percent would have been blacks killing blacks. Now, ratchet down your list here. Combine everything else together, 285, and this is per year. I think this is 2014. Number one killer, 363,000-plus in 2014. Abortion. That merit peaceful protests for the most part. Yeah, it's pretty much ignored these days. All black lives. Okay. Next section. And this kind of surprised me. You know, this concept of, you know, all black lives matter, right? You know, we're for all black lives, whatever the we are guided by the fact that all black lives matter. Right? That's from their website. I went to their website, did some reading. Honestly, I was surprised. The context of that statement, we are guided by the fact that all black lives matter, is this. Regardless of actual or perceived sexual identity, gender expression, transgender, etc., we foster a queer-affirming network. Freeing ourselves from the tight grip of, big word, heteronormative thinking, which they go on to define, the belief that all in the world are heterosexual. Men, women. They're against that. Woo! Really? That's from their official website. Wow. When they say all Black Lives Matter, in that context, that's what they're referring to. That's what they're going after, at least in part, at least according to their website. Now, one of the things I want to quickly add, again, is that some people, based on their conscience, want to go out peacefully, protest police brutality. Absolutely. If you start aligning yourself with BLM, however, you know, you may not realize, I didn't realize, some of the things that they promote, they believe in. And you may be doing it ignorant, just because you didn't know. Okay, I can recognize that. I can understand that. When you dig deeper, though, it's like, really? Well, scripturally viewed, Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image, which we mentioned before, image of God, he created him. Male and female, men, women, boys, girls. He created them. Romans 1:26-27, again, in terms of being, you know, queer affirming, for instance. I think it was queer affirming. Let me get the right word here. I don't want to misrepresent them. Yeah, queer affirming. Romans 1:26-27. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, and the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burning their lust for one another, committing, and it goes on to say, shameful acts. So, is this something that's approved of from a scriptural perspective? Nope. Okay, here's another quote. Again, from their website. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children. So part of that kind of makes sense in terms of having a community pulling together, you know, trying to watch out for the children, instilling values in the children. Oh, okay, part of that, sure, kind of makes sense. But when you throw in disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement, Now, if my understanding, if you look past those words, what they're talking about is husband and wife and a family. Disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement. Oh. Which is interesting for a couple different reasons. One reason is, and I've got some numbers on the following chart. If you look at current statistics about the number of children born to unwed mothers, single parent, if you look at the implications of that regarding poverty and lack of a male figure within the home, and kids going on to try to emulate some sort of male figure, and often it may be like gang members and whatever. This is, I don't know how to say it, sad. So here's some statistics I pulled off the internet. This is of 2011. The percentage of births to unwed mothers within the United States. So average across, you know, quote unquote, all races, 40%. 40% of children born are born to unwed mothers. No father figure, no husband figure, no one like that in the family to serve as a role model. That in and of itself, that's, I want to say sad. It's really worse than sad. For blacks, almost twice as much. More than 70% of black babies born into families where there's not a husband, there's no father. And again, you can, you know, go on the internet if you haven't seen your personal experience, know what kind of a disadvantage that puts the person in terms of growing up, you know, economic struggle, you know, single parent trying to be both father and mother, trying to earn money at the same time, trying to take care of the kid. And the kids sometimes are passed on to grandparents or others to take care of, with a lack of a stable family. Very sad, very sad. And yet, as we saw in the previous quote, officially, according to the BLM website, we disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement. Really. Matthew 19, 4 and 5. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. In terms of scriptural perspective. Titus 2, 4 through 5. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home. So this and some other scriptures, perhaps, could be used to point out that God's intention, man, woman, for life, stable marriage, stable family, raising kids, in a stable structure, scripturally, I wouldn't just necessarily, that's the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement. Now, I understand some people, some fathers are worthless. Okay, got that. But in terms of what the scriptures would say is the right and proper thing to do, stable families, promote the family, promote family structure, not disrupt it. Nope. Civil government. Again, from their website, we call for a national defunding of police. Unless you have any misunderstanding of what that phrase means, look at what local governments are starting to do. New York. Norman, Oklahoma, I think I saw as well. Norman, Oklahoma. Someplace in California. Cutting police funding by half. And interestingly enough, the particular picture I grabbed off the internet, if you notice, you know, defund the police in conjunction with other people that are, and again, according to their official website. Okay. What is that? What's the scriptural kind of response there? Well, how about Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11? Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. If you cut back enforcement, if you cut back justice, if justice is delayed, this is what you can expect to happen. How about Romans 13:4? Again, referring to the government. He is God's minister for you, to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Now, again, could we have some discussion about police, police structure, police training, police policy, police practices? Oh, sure, absolutely. Can we talk about, you know, maybe changing funding and, you know, maybe having some additional emphasis in some areas versus other areas? Yeah, we can have that. But when people are actively advocating for defunding the police and getting rid in a significant way of those who enforce the law, from a scriptural perspective, nope. This next chart maybe in some ways most controversial. But again, off of the internet. This comes from a New York Post article late June. And, you know, you can Google it and actually find the video where this is said. Black Lives Matter co-founder Patrice Cullors, sorry if I mispronounced that, said in a video that has just come to light from 2015 that she and her fellow organizers are, quote-unquote, trained Marxists. And this article goes on to say, making clear their movement's ideological foundation. Cullors, 36, according to this article, was the protege of a person by the name of Eric Mann, a former agitator of the Weather Underground domestic terror organization, spent years in absorbing the quote-unquote Marxist-Leninist ideology that shaped her worldview. And again, this is according to Breitbart News Source. Her first political home under the mentorship of Eric Mann, that organization had deep historical ties to the long history of anti-colonial, anti-imperialist, pro-communist resistance to the quote-unquote U.S. empire. Also expresses its appreciation for the work of the U.S. Communist Party. Now, let me very quickly say that these kinds of stances are not from the BLM website. They're from an organization that some of the co-founders were associated with previously. And I'm not here, I don't want to talk politics. But in some cases, what we have seen in association with the, you know, Black Lives Matter are some people going in and destroying statues, monuments, memorials. A good number of them, admittedly, are oriented toward the Confederate States of America and people who served, you know, military generals, etc., leading figures in the South, you know, under slavery. And, admittedly, some of these statues, a fair number of them, are associated with Christopher Columbus, which, in some ways, is also associated, to some degree, with people coming into this country and doing certain things to the Native Americans. And I'll admit, even though these actions are illegal, and you should go through due process, to a degree, I can kind of understand people's, you know, when you see Confederate people being praised and memorialized and the Confederate flag and, you know, those kinds of things, I can kind of see people getting kind of upset over that. Again, should do it legally, but not illegally. But here's something else I found. Not all Confederate states, all the memorials and monuments, etc., are not exclusively associated with the Confederacy or with Christopher Columbus. Some people within the movement, no, I'm sorry. Let me say it differently. During some of these events, again, under this general canon, some people have taken advantage of the situation and pull down statues and vandalize statues of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Francis Scott Key, who wrote the National Anthem, Ulysses S. Grant. Even abolitionists. At least one statue of Jesus and one statue of the Virgin Mary. And again, I got a website here that you can look at. What? Something's going on here. More than just meets the eye. This is seems to be more than just peaceful protests against police brutality. So, contrast that back to the scriptures. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. 1 Peter 2, verses 17, honor all people, honor the king. And again, we could have a secondary discussion about, you know, Nazism and living in a communist regime, etc. But primarily, according to the scriptures, you know, Christians are supposed to be praying for their government, honoring the various offices, etc. So, going out and actively destroying government property, trying to rewrite our history, trying to, etc., violently? Nope. Okay, it's going to wrap this up. It's getting kind of late. So, do Black Lives Matter? Absolutely. Right? Whether you're an innocent victim of police brutality or an innocent store owner or a black officer out there protecting and serving, or if you're black, you were killed by another black, aborted black children, yes, absolutely. Black Lives Matter. Do all lives matter? Scripturally speaking, well, yes, absolutely. Acts 17, 26, he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. Doesn't leave much room for racism there, does it? 2 Peter, verses, doesn't leave any room there for racism. Let me be explicit. 2 Peter 3, 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do black lives matter? Yes. Do all black lives matter? Yes. Do all lives matter? Yes. Any room for racism here? Matthew 19, 9, love your neighbor as yourself? Nope. Acts 10, 34, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Room for racism there? Nope. Romans 14, 10, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Any room for racism there? Nope. Last chart. So from a scriptural perspective, what's the solution? Is it rioting, vandalism, arson, promoting free sexual expression, disrupting the nuclear family, defunding the police, pulling down monuments? Or is it exercising civil rights and responsibilities? Is it sexual restraint? Is it stable families? Is it respect for authority? Is it loving your neighbor? From the scriptures we've seen here, is it the things on the left? Nope. Is it the things on the right? Yep. Christians are called, regardless of the culture, or the government, thousands of years ago, today, doesn't matter, to be peacemakers. Christians are called to be lights in the world. Christians are called to, you know, respect what is right in the sight of all men. You know, Christians are called to reflect God in their lives, regardless of the situation. And that's the kind of things we need to be about, right? Because after all, if you kind of summarize the whole thing in a very short, succinct kind of thing, what is the scriptural solution? I mean, we can have a side discussion about other things as well, but what's the scriptural solution for racism? In some cases, even things like poverty and unwed mothers and broken families and destroyed neighborhoods, regardless of color of skin. Loving God. Loving God, loving His Word, reading it, incorporating it into our lives, and trying to reflect it out to others. Now that's the lesson. And again, I want to end the same way that I started. This is a very controversial topic. For some people, it's a very deep-seated emotional topic. I hope, I pray, that what I've said today does not unnecessarily stoke those fires of whatever, fear, anger, racial bias, whatever. And that if there's something I've said, if something sounds weird, or that you don't feel good about, let's talk. Let's just talk. We'll work our way through it. Because after all, under one God, one Bible, we can find solutions for these kinds of situations. One of the other aspects, again, coming back to loving God, is the transformative power over people's lives that God, through the Bible, through the gospel, through Jesus Christ, can do. Transforming our lives. Doesn't matter the color of your skin. Doesn't matter how much or how little money you got. Doesn't matter your social status. Doesn't matter male or female, bond or free, previous, you know, national origin. I mean, you just go on down to the list. It really doesn't matter. Power of God's transformation of lives. And that's why we offer the invitation to submit yourself to that transforming power, whether it is to become a Christian according to the New Testament pattern, whether to acknowledge sin as a Christian, public sin as a Christian, you know, or whether to ask for help, support, and encouragement from fellow Christians. We give you that opportunity now if you'll stand and sing as we stand and sing.